chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, we'll read the first 11 verses. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege of this opportunity to once again look into another portion of Thy Word. We thank Thee for that which we've heard thus far today. Pray Thy blessings upon that which is yet to come. And we ask that Thou would bless in this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11, the first 11 verses. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice pen. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush and from Elam, and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. We'll stop there, but my message is being thankful for the second coming. Now, as with all the subjects, I have here notes of 8 sermons I preached one time on the second coming. I wanted you to see that I could preach for hours just like some of you say you can. I'm not going to, but I could. I could preach every message on the second coming and never exhaust it. And I believe in the fact that my Lord is coming, first of all, in the air for His people. We're going to be caught up in what we call the rapture. I believe there's going to be a tribulation period after that, when the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth, and I'm not going to be in that wrath. I've been saved from that. I'm not going to be here during that tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, the Lord's going to come and set feet upon the earth. And then He's going to reign for 1,000 years, and I'm going to be with Him then. Amen. Several things are going to be happening to me between the time that He takes me up until He comes back, and I come back with Him when He reigns on the earth. A lot of things I could talk about in this message, but that's not the purpose of the message or the theme for the conference at this time. The purpose is being thankful for the fact that He's coming. You know, we have a lot of things that happens to us. A lot of heartaches, a lot of burdens, a lot of trials. We've had some things mentioned about some of the things that's going on in this world. Wickedness out in the open, like we can't even imagine. Some of us here have lived long enough to know that back a few years ago, some of the things that's out in the open today wouldn't even be whispered in our day. Some of the literature that's out right out in the open in the stores, even in supermarkets, if it was sold at all, was sold under the desk. Wasn't put out in the open. Sin was called sin then. Wasn't given another name to make it seem prettier or better. It was called for what it was. Sodomy was sodomy, not another lifestyle. Murdering babies was murder, not a free choice on the part of the mother. We can name all kinds of things that we see today that a few years ago you wouldn't see, not out in the open. You murdered somebody, you were tried for murder. Now you're checked to see if you were abused while you were a child. And every day it seems like, well, it can't get any worse than today. And tomorrow it is. It's worse. Used to be that if you went sowing, the people, whether they ever went to church or not, respected the fact that you were a preacher. Amen. Respected the fact that you were talking about God. And that the Bible was a special book. And everybody wanted a Bible, whether they used it or not. And it was considered something special. Now it's put on the shelves in the libraries as dangerous material. Not allowed in the schools. You know. You could talk to people and no matter what they might think, they would talk and listen. I can remember in my early years in the ministry, I would go out to witness and I would come to a saloon. I've even gone into saloons and asked the proprietor if I could take a few minutes to speak to the people there. I can remember the proprietor in one of them even went and pulled the plug of the jukebox so nobody could play it while I spoke to them. Now you try something like that, they kill you. Kick you out. We have wickedness like you can't imagine. Disrespect, like hard to think. Illnesses. I've never seen so much illness as there is in the world today. Everywhere you call, they have flus that you can't get over, sicknesses. And as you get a little older, your body begins to fall apart a little bit and things happen to you and you have things that happen that makes you wonder. And beloved, as you think about all of this, that's a bleak picture, isn't it? That's enough to make a man decide that it's time to quit. But you don't. But instead, what makes it easy to go on is the fact that one of these days, maybe today, my Lord is coming. That one of these days, He's going to take us out of all of this. And we're going to be in His presence. It's hard to imagine what it's going to be like to go and be with the Lord. But you know, my Lord, in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. He knew that the time was coming when soon he would be leaving the disciples there. He began teaching them some lessons. And as it came closer and closer to the time that he would be crucified, he taught them more and more about things to come. And he said here in this portion of the Word of God, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." My Lord said, "I'm going to have to go for a while, but I'm going to be preparing a place for you, and I will come again." Now, beloved, when you get to reading the news or listening to the news, watching it on TV, when you get sick and discouraged and you don't know whether you're going to live or die, and I've been there a time or two, and so have you, you know that it's very possible this might be the end of me. Read this passage. Read this passage. I don't have to do anything to prove anything. Someone said, "How do you know he's coming again?" Because he said so. Brother said yesterday, said someone came up to me and said, talking about a drunk fellow that came up to him and said, "You try to make me believe that Jonah swallowed the whale." He said, "No, I wouldn't. But listen, you know what? I'm just simple enough that if God said in His Word that Jonah swallowed the whale, I believe it." Someone said, "You believe that a whale could swallow Jonah?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. The Bible says a great fish did. But nevertheless, if God said a minnow swallowed Jonah, I'd believe it." You know, beloved, we sometimes get to the place where we think we have to prove what God said. I told one of my grandsons this morning, I said, "Well, you know, today is Sabbath. And according to the world today, the Lord rose." Well, actually, they say He rose in the morning. But that's not what the Bible says. But I said, "You know, the Bible says that on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb and the angels opened it up to show that He's already risen." And I said, "So He rose at the last of the Sabbath day, you know. And you know, according to what we hear, He died yesterday. But He's in the tomb, according to the Bible, 3 days and three nights." So now, talk about a miracle. He died on Friday, rose Saturday evening, and was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Well, of course, we know better. But I don't have to sit down and through a lot of logic and mathematics and everything else figure that out. He rose Saturday evening. He must have been crucified sometime Wednesday evening. I mean, what else? I don't have to study that out. God said so. Someone said, "Well, how many times is it in the Bible? How many times does it have to be? If God says it, then that's it." Amen. I'm just dumb enough to believe that if it's in the Bible, it's truth. It's fact. And I'm just enough to believe that I'm having a hard day. And I'm a little bit discouraged. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. And we recently had my wife had her surgery. And we didn't know what was going to happen. But you know what? It doesn't matter when you're a child of God. Because if I live, then I'm to serve my Lord. If I die, then I'll go to be with my Lord. What else is there? I'm thankful that I can face these days of discouragement, heartache, burdens, difficulties, with the realization my Lord's coming for me. The King is coming. And when He comes this time, He's not going to come and let the mobs yell, "Crucify Him." When He comes this time, He's coming as my King. He's coming to take me to be with Him. And this old weak, sinful body. Oh, this old body that's so weak and gets so sick and gets so discouraged and all the things that happens to it, you know. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Brethren, you feeling bad today? You having some trouble with your heart? Arthritis, you feel bad, you can't hardly walk, you don't want to sometimes. It says, comfort one another with these words. You don't have to suffer this much longer. You don't have to worry about this one of these days. Because one of these days, you're going to hear the trumpet. One of these days, you're going to hear the voice of God. I don't know what He's going to say, but I know what He's going to mean. Come on! Come on. And all of our loved ones that have died and gone before, they're going to be caught up out of the grave. And we, which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up with Him. And as we go up, maybe not that way, but I kind of like to think of it that way. I'm going to shed off all these little weaknesses and things, you know. These glasses are going to go. I've got to put them back on. I can't see you. They're going to go. These swollen hands, these sore legs, this excess fat, this is all going to go. I'm going to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is the sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Get a little discouraged? Had a few problems in your life? Failed a few times? Hey, I've failed many times. I've had a lot of discouragements. I've had a lot of heartaches. And a lot of pain. You know what? One of these days, I'm going to shed all that as I go up. And I'm going to be before my Lord so perfect that there will not be one single wrong in my whole body and being. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Amen. Isn't that something to rejoice in? Yeah. We have some rough days. Someone said, well, if you're a Christian, why is it you have so many things go wrong in your life? I said, well, if everything went right now, we wouldn't have anything to look forward to. Everything were perfect here, what we look forward to. I am so thankful. I'm so happy that my Lord has called me to preach. I'm so thankful that my Lord saved me and left me here to look around about me and see what God has done through me and for me and with me. What a joy it is to know that I can serve my Lord. The only way I could do it is because I know that the day will come when He'll take me to be with Him. And over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When my Lord comes for me, takes me to be with Him. When He comes for me and takes me to be with Him, you know what He's going to do? One of the things that's going to happen is I'm going to go before Him, the judgment seat. You know, a lot of people have the wrong idea. When I go before Him in the judgment seat, I'm not going to go before Him and answer for my sins. My Lord already paid for them. Even those sins I committed yesterday and we'll commit today and the ones tomorrow, they're all covered by the blood of Jesus. They're all saved. They're gone, you see. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I don't stand before Him. I won't stand before Him and answer for my sins. I will be judged for my service to Him. For whether I've served Him right and properly and all of that. And that's why we ought to be thankful that we are given the privilege of being a sower. Like our brother said, he didn't tell us to make sure that there's no rocks in the garden, that some of the seed might fall on the rocks. You ever done much sowing? You just broadcast it. Some people has a machine, they put it in there and that machine just spreads it out. But Most people have it in their hands and they take it. That's how we suck. I've preached to an empty house and I've preached to a place where there's 500 people. And whether there's... we had a speaker there, by the way. People living in the houses around could hear. Down in Lexington, I don't know whether Brother Kettle remembers that or not, but down in Lexington, we used to have a place there, there on Vine Street, I believe it was. We had a little building there, and we had speakers outside the door. And sometimes we had services there every night. And sometimes there wouldn't be anybody inside, but the people would be sitting in the windows of the apartments listening. Preach. And I preach the same message. Whether there's just one or two or none, or whether there's a multitude of people, it's the same message. Someone asked me one time, if we call you as pastor, what are you going to do for the young people? And I said, the same thing I do for the old people. I'm going to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then if they're saved, I'm going to teach them what the Bible says they're supposed to do. I don't have a different message for the young people than for the old. The same message for everybody. It's found in this word. And one day, I'm going to stand before my Lord, this judgment seat, and I hope that I can hear Him say, "Well done, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant." 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I rejoice just as much. Someone saved, and I've been preaching. Or if someone comes and holds a meeting in my church and someone saved as a result of his preaching. Because I know this. I've sown the seed. And sometimes the Lord brings someone else to water it. It doesn't matter to me who it is that does the preaching. What matters is when someone's saved, I rejoice. I'm happy that God has blessed our efforts. Over in 11 through 15 it says, "For every other foundation can no man lay that is laid, that which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 11 through 15. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." One of these days, we're going to be taken to be with our Lord, and we'll stand before Him there at that judgment seat to be tried for our service. And I hope that when we stand before Him, I can say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have not held back any, but have presented to you all the word." But whatever, one of these days I'm going to be before Him. But one of these days, my Lord is coming. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in this world. I was going to jokingly say, and it isn't a joke, but you look at that comet tonight, don't look to see if the tail's any longer, because those 38 people are not going to be behind that comet like they think. 38 or 39, whichever it was. Committed suicide? Because the comet is closer now. And that's what they were expecting. Can you imagine? Those poor souls. Somebody should have taken this. Maybe they did. But there's people out there that need to be told the message of life before some idiot gets to them and tells them, you better kill yourself now, the comet's coming. Brethren, we don't know what this world's going to be like. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And the only thing that makes it easier is to know that one of these days you're going to be taken to be with the Lord. That's the hope that we have. My Lord is coming. He's coming for me. Is He coming for you? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you looking forward to that day when He will take you to be with Him? He will, if you know Him. God grant that everyone here will be looking forward to the coming of the Lord and be there when He comes. Yes, we could go into a lot of theological study about it, and we will in messages to come. But today, I just want to be thankful that He is coming and that we who know Him as our personal Savior will go to be with Him. So come on, world. Do what you will. You can't touch me. My Lord is taking care of me. Shall we stand and be dismissed?